Get your Bibles out and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Let's stand, please. We'll begin reading at verse number 1. Matthew, chapter 16. We'll stand and begin reading at verse number 1. Matthew, chapter 16, and we'll begin reading at verse number 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? I want to preach to you a few minutes this morning about the signs of the times. Brother Eddie, would you pray for this message this morning, then we can all be seated. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I want you to notice our text this morning. The Bible records to us that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who would be the fundamentalists and the liberal religious leaders of the Jews, Sadducees being the liberal leaders, the Pharisees being the fundamentalists. It don't matter if you're a fundamentalist or a liberal, you can still be lost and full of the devil. Amen. Amen. A little side note there. They come to Jesus Christ and they desire that he would show them a sign from heaven. That was absolutely the wrong thing to do because Jesus knew their motive. And he gave them a seething rebuke with no sign to follow. But what I want to draw your attention to this morning is the point that our Savior was making by his stinging remarks. He basically said this. He said, you boys pay more attention to the weather and the signs in the sky than you do the signs of the times. And the signs of the times he's talking about right there would be the signs directing you to be looking for the second advent of Christ. That's his return at the end of the tribulation period. We're not looking for that. We're looking for the blessed hope. Amen. We're looking for him to come and we meet him together in the clouds and rapture us out of here. But it gets on to him. And apparently these Pharisees and these Sadducees knew the saying, red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky at morning, sailor take warning. Anybody else in here know that? Well, good. Amen. And listen, that's all good and fine. It certainly helps to pay attention to the weather, and it certainly helps to have a knowledge of the atmosphere, doesn't it? But it isn't okay. It is not okay when you have more knowledge and concern for the first heaven than you do for the third heaven. That's when you get messed up. Something is wrong, my friend, when we are more concerned about the clouds that may bring rain than the clouds that our Savior and the saints are going to appear in at the rapture. We've got our priorities messed up. Brother Mark just sang that song that you don't ever hear it anymore. Redemption draweth nigh. I remember as a little boy in that little Southern Baptist church where I was saved, the choir had an old flimsy blue book and they'd get up there and sing that every once in a while. Those words aren't sung anymore. I will say this, the return of Christ to many Christians is something way out yonder somewhere. They're looking toward the sky, but they're not looking toward the sky to anticipate his return. The average Christian are looking up in the sky waiting for a plane to come in or maybe get a glimpse of a flying saucer. For us who are born-again believers, listen to me this morning. For us who are born-again believers, our passage is actually 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first 7 verses, where it says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And brother, they are here. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This describes the perilous, the dangerous, the hazardous times that precedes the rapture of the church. And that passage describes this modern world. All would agree that the things in this passage that are described have been going on for some time, for 2,000 years since he wrote it. However, they have dramatically increased in just the last few years. Now listen to me and listen to me carefully. I know this is a lengthy introduction, but it's no longer a sermon, so everybody relax. I do not have all the answers about what all this means that is presently happening in this country. I don't. The Universal Church is not an American church. The King James Bible is not an American book. It's for everybody. Amen. Billy Graham said that you ought to approach preaching with a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. Well, the problem with that is that many newspapers don't tell the truth. You think you're going to get something out of the Washington Post or the New York Times that's going to not have a few lies in it, more than a few. And if they do actually tell the truth, it's never wise to grab the headlines for the subject of your sermon. Never wise to do that. I'm not an Old Testament prophet. And the only thing you can be sure of is the doctrinal truths of the Bible, not your interpretation of current events. Not your interpretation of current events. You'd better be very careful when making statements and prophetic claims concerning world events, folks. I've seen many a preacher bomb out and go off the deep end, trying to fit each new hot topic and new detail of human depravity into their doomsday ministry. Listen, doomsday surely is coming, but it won't get here any quicker because of your supposed superior insight into current events. It's not going to. Now listen to me. After saying all that, I want to say this. Something has changed. Something has happened. Something new is going on in our world and in our country. And again, we are not to interpret prophetical passages by what is taking place in America, but I do believe it's obvious that something has changed in America and in this world. It appears to me that a new door has been opened. And even if there was a time, if ever there was a time to keep your eyes on the eastern sky like we just sang about, it's now. And I don't know when the rapture of the church is going to take place. God forbid, it may be 30 more years. I don't know. I sure hope not. But I don't know. And your favorite TV preacher doesn't know neither. But something has definitely, listen to me this morning, something has definitely been let out of the cage. It may have been in there for a while, but now it has been turned loose. The warning to us this morning is for us not to be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and miss the signs of the times because we're having a good time. We got to pay attention. I want the church, I'm preaching to the church this morning, to consider three things. I want you to consider three things today as we look at the signs of the times. All right, here we go. Number one, the church is unable to discern the signs of the times for the same reason that the Pharisees and the Sadducees could not discern the signs of the time. First of all, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, their interest was in the wrong place. They were not looking for the signs of the time. Jesus rebuked them. He said, you're paying attention to the weather. You know what's going on in the atmosphere. But you, as a religious leader, are clueless about what's going on earth right now. The Son of Man, the Son of God, is walking among you. And we have the same sorry shape in the church age, in the church right now. Nobody's paying attention. Your biggest concern is not whether COVID-19 gets you, because death is going to get everybody. Amen. Your biggest concern is I'm going to wind up in front of Christ one day. Amen. And he's going to say something that's going to matter eternally. But we're not looking at it like that. We're not paying attention to the spiritual climate of the day. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had no clue what the spiritual climate was of the day. They didn't even care. Their interest was wrong. They were not paying attention. If there's ever a time to wake up, folks, If there's ever a time to wake up and get your mind on things that are spiritual, I'm telling you right now is the time to do it. There's no sense in delaying anymore. Another thing why they were unable to discern the signs of the times, not only were they not interested, they were looking at the wrong thing. They were hypocrites. They were not right with God. That's what Christ says about them. He says in verse number 3, O ye hypocrites. You know what they were doing? They were playing church. I'm not trying to be ugly here this morning, but I'm just going to just tell you like it is. You know, I'm prone to do that every once in a while. Do you know why folks ain't focused on eternal things and setting their affections on things above and not on things below and got their mind and looking and their eyes up there looking? He could come today. He could come today. He could come today. If he came today, oh God, what would be in my life? And they're not thinking like that. They're playing church. They're not serious about God. Let me issue something to you this morning. If there was ever a time for you to start getting your ducks in order and lined up as far as spiritually speaking, if there was ever a time for you to get concerned about the things of God, I believe we're heading that way. I believe the sign of the times tells you you need to get your mind on things above and get off this earth. It's time to stop playing church. It's time to come to church because you yearn for something from God. And God is first priority and you want to worship him and you love him. And he comes first in your life. You want to obey him and you want to be in right fellowship with him as a Christian. That's why we ought to be coming to church. Not so we can check off a box and say, well, I did it again. I came another time. I fulfilled my responsibility. I tell you something else. The Pharisees had no spiritual discernment. Now, he tells you that when you read there. He said, you can discern the face of the sky. That's what he says about them in verse number 3. He says, you fellas can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the sign of the times? If there ever was a time in the church when the church doesn't have any spiritual discernment, it is right now. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, the natural man there is a lost man, and we know that a lost man can't spiritually discern something. But I tell you, we have a lot of saved people that are saved, born again, on their way to heaven. They can't discern anything spiritually because they're spiritually discerned, and they're not spiritual. That's why you're getting on, going on there and looking more on the COVID updates than seeing what the King James Bible says about the return, the imminent return of Christ. That's why you're more concerned right now about your retirement. I'm not saying not to be concerned about it. I'm not saying not to get things here on earth and take care of things. I'm not talking about that. But how much have you been concerned and thought about, hey man, this thing's wrapping up. A new door's been opened. This country's went crazy. This world is going crazy. I mean, we might be right on the edge of the rapture taking place. It may be another 30 years. I don't know that. I'll tell you what I do know. Something in the last few months in this country and in this world has changed. Excuse me. I don't have the COVID. The other day I was walking with Darby and walking behind her, and I just forgot about what's going on in our country right now, and I had to cough. I went, man, there's some people turned around and looked at me like, no, give me the crawl. Put the garlic around their neck or something. I don't know. Everybody's paranoid. You better have some spiritual discernment. And people don't have any spiritual discernment. Spiritually, this thing has went into a new era. It's went into this. We're in a new deal, man. Number two, the church must look at the signs of the times as warning signs. These are warning signs. Now, again, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what it all means. And there's a lot of preachers out there with a little Facebook post and they're preaching and YouTube things and all that can tell you exactly what all this means and what all the conspiracies are. Yes, I do believe there's some present conspiracies going on, but I don't know what all they are. And some of them know what it is and they can tell you what all it is and what you need to do. Don't pay no attention to that. What you better be getting more interested in is what this King James Bible says. It's for a fact. This is not speculation. It's not some kind of fella out yonder somewhere trying to figure out and interpret all this stuff and see how it's going to go. This will tell you how it's going to go. You know what it says how it's going to go? It says in the last days before we're raptured out, perilous times are coming, hazardous times, dangerous times. And I read to you how people are going to act. Now, when I read that to you, can you see a dramatic increase in just the last few years? And now with all the craziness that's going on in our country, can you see that increasing? Well, he tells you that right before the rapture, that's what all that stuff's going to be taking place. It's going to be increasing. It's going to be getting worse. Now you say, what about the warning signs? What do they mean? What are they warning of? Well, could it be this? Number one, could it be warning of the judgment of America? Prepare for things to get worse. Do you know what I believed? And I've preached this and taught this for years. What I preached and I've taught for years, way before I ever got up here, is that even though we are going to be raptured out of here before the wrath of God falls down, that's the time of Jacob's trouble, that's the time when he deals with the Jews, his people, even though we're going to be raptured out of here, I have preached for years and years that I believe we're going to experience some trouble, and we're going to experience some judgment, and we're going to get it before we ever leave here. I'm not saying we're going to be in the Great Tribulation period, but we're going to have trouble and problems and have some of the judgment of God on the church before it leaves here. I believe that, and I preached it for years, and I believe you're going to see it right now, and you're starting to see it right now. If you listen, the problem with this country ain't wicked people. Wicked people's always been here. The problem with this country is what Brother Billy preached the other night. We don't have any power on the church. We're powerless. And we have people just in and out, in and out, in and out. Just not dedicated, not focused on God, not serious about God. And that's why the moral climate of America has gotten so bad. It's not the bad people, it's the saved people that won't do right. That's the problem in America. It's not the wicked, it's us. We've lost our influence on the wicked world because the church has got so much world in the church, they're so mingled together, you can't even distinguish the two. We've lost our power. I believe some of this is going to be the judgment of God on America. And listen, stocking 50 pounds of rice and storing up on ammunition, that ain't going to stop it. People say, well, when they come to take my guns, they'll have to pry my gun out of my cold, dead hand. They'll do it real easy. Real easy. Then your wife will be there with nobody to help take care of her because you're stupid. You are not going to stop the judgment of God on this country. And the rain's going to fall on the just and the unjust. But if you'll do right and keep your mind and your heart on Christ, he'll get you through it. He'll get you through it. But I believe it's coming. I hope to God I'm wrong. I hope somebody come up here and point a finger at me 2 years from now, if I'm still here and we're still alive and the rapture hadn't taken place, and say, Brother Dennis, you missed it, man. You missed it on that morning. You missed it. You sure did miss it. I hope I did miss it. I don't think I'm going to miss it. This ain't the tribulation period, but this is, in the last days of the church, I believe the beginning of sorrows. And there's sorrows coming on us. And you better get your thing right with God. And quit worrying so much about your physical temperature spiking while your spiritual temperature is going down. You better set your eyes on the eastern sky. Your redemption is drawing nigh. It's coming. Some of you just ain't ready. You just ain't ready, and I want you to be. I want you to be. I don't want nobody in this church to be raptured out of here or die and not be ready. Is this the beginning of the end? Is the rapture right around the corner? I sure hope and pray so. I sure hope and pray that this thing is like a roller coaster, and it's just been creeping, 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 and creeping up, and now it's going down. And you know, I rode only one roller coaster in my life. Well, it was two. It was my first and my last one. I rode the American Scream Machine at Six Flags in Atlanta, Georgia. They named it right. Brother Tim, you're pretty stupid, I think, about myself to get on something that they named the American Scream Machine. I mean, if they named it, you know, cake and flowers, that'd be something nice to get on. But if you lined up, and listen, I had to stand in line an hour to get on that thing. You stand in line an hour to get on something. And they say, what you doing, man? I'm standing in line to get on this thing. Yeah, what's it called? It's called the American Scream Machine. That's your first clue not to get on it. But then we went up there and just, and you got to the top of that thing, and you could see all that Six Flags there. It's so huge. And you're just sitting there, just waiting, waiting. And all of a sudden, they decide to start it again. And son, when that thing started coming down, I shut my eyes. I'm not going to tell you that I screamed like a schoolgirl, but I did react. Let me tell you the good thing about me, brother. Get me once, shame on you. Get me twice, shame on me. I've never been on another one. But that may be what this is, man. We've just been doing. And God said, okay. And we're out of here. Unfortunately, it may not be that way. Ah, man, even so, Lord Jesus, come. I tell you something else it could be. God is allowing all this to happen because he is so merciful and so kind. He has given the body of Christ some time to get ready for the judgment seat of Christ. He's showing you glimpses of how this thing's turning. He's showing you the signs of the times are in the air. And he's trying to get your attention this morning because he is so merciful that you don't have to die in a backslidden state. You don't have to die bankrupt at the judgment seat of Christ. Not even a barbed wire crown to lay at his feet. Maybe that could be that. I don't know what it is, but I know this. What is going on right now are warning signs. And you and I better heed the warning. And then number three, the church should look at the signs of the times and the church should prepare itself. You know what Proverbs 22:3 says? Proverbs 22:3 says that a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. If I'm prudent, I'm supposed to be able to look out yonder and see what's going on and then prepare myself for it. That's what that Bible says. Prepare to meet thy God. We have to prepare ourselves to meet God. I'm prepared in the fact that I've trusted Christ as my Savior. But now as a Christian, I need to be prepared by doing right and living for him so that when I stand up before him that day, at the day of judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ, I'll hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I want him to say. But listen, listen, you need to be prepared. There's some temptations coming out on you. It's going to be a temptation to compromise. It's going to be a temptation to give in to the financial pressure or maybe the political pressure or the social pressure. You'd be surprised to know what's going on in my family right now and in other people's family where people are drawing a line politically. And I don't want to get in much of this because I'm going to get into all of it next week, Lord willing. But now they're thinking that if you vote for a certain person and don't agree with us, that we ought to burn people's stuff up. We ought to kill innocent people. We ought to protest. You don't agree with us, you're part of the problem, and we won't even speak to you no more. That's what they're doing over that mess. Won't even speak to you no more. Well, you must, if you support him or you vote for him, then you must hate certain colors of people. You must hate this and hate that. It's nonsense. They're stupid. My family included. Stupid. And you know what some of you are going to be tempted to do? Well, I love my family. I don't want to break ties with them. We'll just ease around it. Maybe they are right. Maybe there does come a time when it's all right to kill innocent people and blow up stuff and mug people. Maybe it is all right that something that happened 300 years ago that I wasn't involved in, my daddy wasn't involved in, and my granddaddy and his granddaddy wasn't involved in, and I ought to pay money for it. Maybe I ought to do, because that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. And you know what? That political stuff, that pressure's going to get on you. You know why? Because some of you watch more TV than you do read that Bible. And you tuning in there on the CNN and all that mess and listening to all that mess and feeling the pressure of society to change you. You don't let society change you. You let that book change you. Amen. You know what a preacher said years ago that I thought was profound? We were talking about street preaching. You know what that preacher said? He said, I don't street preach necessarily to change somebody else, because they were talking about, well, what kind of results do you get when you preach on the street? And do you really get that many people saved? You know what that preacher said? He said, I don't preach on the street because of results. I don't preach on the street necessarily to change anybody. I preach on the street so they don't change me. You got to get your balance set on. You got to get your feet planted, because this world is trying to change us. I feel the pressure on me. There's many times I go to God and I say, God, I feel some kind of unusual pressure, some kind of unusual strange thing. I listen to some of their arguments on the TV about some of this liberal stuff, and sometimes they make sort of good arguments and whatever, and they try to twist the Bible and all. And I'm like, God, clear my ears up, clear my mind up. I don't care who in my family's involved in this. I don't care who in my friends believe this. I don't care what preacher's turn with this. God, you keep my heart and my mind straight. And if you don't pray and do that, you're going to get fooled by all this mess. And I'll tell you where it's getting to. And bad as you want your children to have a college education, the universities are so liberal and so messed up with the teacher. They have such an agenda. I cannot tell you the number of kids that I have pastored before I ever got here that went to college and came out messed up. Messed up. Sent them off to a university somewhere and came out messed up. You'd be better off getting no college degree than going there and being brainwashed 4 years in a university by all these liberal professors and mess you up when you get out. You better have your heart and your mind right, and you better know God wants you to go before you go. I'm not trying to talk you out of going to college. I went. My wife went. I'm fine with that. You'd be better off just working an average job, or whatever you think an average job is, or doing something and never going to college than going to college and getting messed up like that. They're coming out in the droves atheists. They went in there believing in God, professing salvation in Christ, and coming out as atheists. I know about it. I'm not making it up. It's happening. You got to prepare yourself. You got to get ready. These signs or warnings are going to be the temptation to get along with my job. I'm not telling you to go there and stir up something. Get along with my family, in the church. And I just want to say this, folks, that the possibility of this thing getting much worse is there. If you can't be right with God right now and can't withstand the influence right now, how are you going to stand for the truth when the real trouble gets here? I asked myself through this COVID thing and all that's going on. I said, God, if this has got people so shook up, what is going to happen when the real trouble comes? When the real problems get here? When the real persecution starts? If we'll be scared to death over a virus, which has a 99% chance that it will not kill you, and I'm not telling you not to be concerned about it, but what bothers me is we're concerned about that, and we are not concerned about what is going to happen. It is happening. We are dying. We're going to face Christ. And the church is not ready. The church is in apostasy. It's not ready. You know what's wrong with the church? We're fooling around. We're playing church. We're worried about making a living, doing our thing. And it's been a long time since the church, as a whole, looked up and said, You see that? Oh yeah, man, that's red clouds in the morning, you know. No. Look way up there. We're not looking about the weather today. We're not looking about whether we should launch out or not. Just keep looking up there. It's a little different, ain't it? Yeah, boy, there's something, I don't know what that is. There's something a little bit different going on. You reckon we ought to go home and pray a little bit? Might be good. You better quit looking at all this other mess. You know what the devil does? I tell you what the devil does. He's like a car dealer in Vegas or something. He's just dun, 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 get this, see right here, and he done hid the ace of spades behind his back while you're watching all this. You know what the devil's got you doing? He's got you distracted with 24-hour newscasts. Oh, God, were they going to send another stimulus? What about COVID-19? Who died today? Over and over. And he's got the cards hid behind his back. He wants to keep your mind off what's the real sign of the times. Listen, church. There has always been evil in this world. You just get a few chapters in the Bible and you already got Cain killing Abel. You go on over there and you got that old wicked woman Jezebel. Then you get over there in the New Testament, you got Judas Iscariot. I mean, they're all through the Bible. Christians have been persecuted in this world since the beginning of the early church. It was terrible in the Dark Ages. And if you received any information from organizations like the Voice of the Martyrs, you know it's taking place in countries all over the world right now. This world has seen its share of diseases, hasn't it? The Black Death, the Spanish Flu, insurrections, genocides, moral wickedness, religious hypocrisy. We've seen that for years. But listen to me. Please listen to me as I make one final plea. I'm telling you this morning that something else has changed. Something's different now. Something is going on. We are in a new phase. It is a phase that I believe is one step closer to the end. How much closer? I don't know. But it's at least possible that this thing now is a runaway train and it's about to derail at any moment. If you can at least hear this morning, see that we have entered into a new and different day, then friends, you may be as blind and deceived as these poor Pharisees and Sadducees. Because we're here. Sign of the times are everywhere. So what does that mean? Well, a few questions as we close. Are you saved? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready for His return? Are you right with God as a Christian? Are you ready to be raptured? Are you ready to face the judgment seat of Christ? The perilous times are here. Now is the time to start paying attention, church. Now is the time to be looking for our blessed hope. Please take this warning and act accordingly today. The signs of the times tell us that it's time to prepare to meet our God. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Every head bowed and eye closed.